Hi, it's me, Pat, from post-production again. So, there are points in this episode where my audio recording runs into some problems. I'm so sorry about that, and we'll fix it soon, but I just wanted to let you guys know in advance about it, and I hope you still enjoy this episode, because it's really fun! Hey everyone, welcome to the Tusok Tusok Filipino Food Podcast, where we find out how food figures into everything in our lives.
Here in this podcast, we will deal you some interesting facts about the history and culture behind our food to start a more conscious discussion of our cuisine.
I'm Pat.
And I'm Matthew, the host of this show. In today's episode, we'll look into the many sides of Philippine alcohol. And then we talk to one of our old college professors to have a little chat about how media portrays the devil's drink. Is alak inherently bad? Let's see.
Filipinos are strong alcohol drinkers. It's undeniable that it's something ingrained in our very culture. I mean, ask Alejandro Roses, a national artist for literature. In his short story, We Filipinos Are Mild Drinkers, he wrote that we drink for only three good reasons. We drink when we're very happy, we drink when we're very sad, and we drink for any other reason.
Even today, alcohol seems to be an essential piece in any Filipino life. In any occasion, it's always a safe bet to bring a bottle of wine to dinner, give an expensive brand of whiskey for someone's important day, or maybe just bring a bottle or two of soju when you want to hang out at a friend's house. These are some of the alcohol we drink nowadays. But of course, it's not the same type of alcohol our ancestors were drinking. The Philippines back then was drinking something entirely different.
You know, our drinking tradition can actually be traced back to the 1500s. Diary entries from Antonio Pigafetta, who was the chronicler of Ferdinand Magellan's expedition, reflect how natives offered Magellan's crew a jar of palm wine. They called it arak back then, and it may be one of the first records of our spirits-infused past. I mean, it's proof that we've had our own alcohol way before any other foreign influences. And contrary to what we see today, Philippine alcohol was extremely popular locally and even in other countries.
When we were doing our research, we found an interesting study by Dr. Feorilio Demetrio III of De La Salle University. He studied the origins of different alcohols from Samar and Leyte, how each of them were made, and the factors that slowly made it fade away from everyday Filipino lives.
Of course, he talks about the likes of lambanog, which is our coconut wine, and tuba, which is wine made from sugarcane. But he also talked about alcohol I'd never even heard about before. Apparently, apart from alak, lambanog, and tuba, in Visayas, we also used to have kabarawan. I hope I'm not butchering that name. But it's a type of wine made out of native honey. The name kabarawan comes from the bark of the tree that they use to flavor the water that they mix the native honey with. He also said there's this thing called pangasi, which is a unique type of rice beer. And lastly, there's also intus, which is a sugarcane wine that, interestingly, also makes use of the bark of the kabarawan tree, except it's used as a fermenting agent rather than a flavoring one. I think it's kind of cool that there's also like all those different types of drinks that they used to have in Samar and Leyte. And I particularly was interested in kabarawan because I've never had honey wine before. And just the name itself sounds so good.
In Dr. Demetrio lifts a story from the book, Early Coconut Culture in Western Mexico, that mentions tuba as a popular drink in the Colima territories of Mexico around the 1600s. I'm assuming it is thanks to the Spanish galleon trade that we had at the time. It wasn't exactly from the trade part of the galleon trade, because apparently, the knowledge of making tuba was spread by Filipino crew members that escaped from galleons. The residents of Colima loved it so much more than the local wines and spirits that the Viceroy of Mexico got worried that it would lower the demand for imported wines from Spain. So, he enacted rules that heavily prohibited the making of tuba across Mexico.
All the way back home naman, we also received pushback on our alcohol to favor foreign kinds. This time, it was about Basi. Arturo Pacho, author of the book In High Spirits, Tropical Wines of the Philippines, talks about the history of Filipino alcohol in an interview with ABS-CBN. He said that the Spanish were also worried over how Filipinos favored local wines over imports from Spain. Does that sound familiar to any of you? And then they tried to disrupt production and distribution by putting taxes on Basi.
Well, that's colonization to you, I guess. What started out as a taxation for the reason of values and discouraging excessive alcohol consumption became a get-rich-quick scheme. Ferrilio's study points out how from alcohol taxes alone, their yearly profit ballooned to more than 1 million pesos in 1860. 1 million in 1860. I can't do math to save my life, but if we adjust that to inflation today, that's probably a lot of zeros.
So despite the love Filipinos and even foreigners had for our local alcoholic drinks, there were these political and economic aspects that hindered its growth.
But why can't we just bring these traditions back?
Well, because Matthew, it's a lot more complicated than it sounds. Making alcohol is a pretty complex process. For some types, like the ones found in Samar and Leyte mentioned earlier, it requires complicated machinery which no one just knows how to use anymore. And sometimes the places where we get the specific ingredients have run out. Just like how you can't just use any type of rice for sushi, you can't just use any type of rice for our rice wine. That goes the same for the types of honey and sugarcane for our other drinks as well.
A silver lining path to this whole situation is how we still have the more common alcohol like Lambanog. Our drinking culture stayed alive despite all the forces that were going against it. That's kind of a weird thing we should be proud of, I guess.
I guess. Drinking carried on even into the American colonial era, where alcohol was generally offered as a gesture of goodwill, sometimes to numb physical pain. Pacho also mentioned in his book that in one instance, Filipino troops got American soldiers drunk so that they could conduct a surprise attack, which they obviously won. Looks like alcohol finds its ways in many aspects of our culture and history.
I think that little win merits a drink now. So let's take a break and have this episode's Shekulang segment. So earlier in the episode, we talked about the short story, We Filipinos Are Mild Drinkers. If you haven't read it yet, let me tell you a bit about it, because it'll play a part in today's Shekulang segment, and possibly for the rest of the episode. The main character there is a Filipino farmer who just got home from a day of plowing the fields with his carabao. An American soldier visited him and asked where the nearest bar was in the town so he could get a swig of whiskey. But alas, there were no bars, and there was no whiskey.
What the main character had, though, was Lambanog. And I don't want to give too much away in this story, but let's just say the soldier was no match for a couple of shots of Lambanog. Which brings us here. Matthew, on his end, he has a bottle of Nipa Palm Lambanog. I, however, have an interesting cocktail mix that you'll hear about later. It's called Kagatan, short for Kape, Gatas, and Tandwai. We thought that it would be fun to shake things up for this episode and test ourselves by taking a shot of Lambanog the way the story portrayed it and see if it's as strong as they say. I mean, I couldn't get my hands on it, but I have this cocktail, I guess.
So, if you look here, we have a bottle of Supremo Barik. Sponsor us, please. And it is a popular with a lot of millennials and Gen Z partygoers around Poblacion Makati. Or so what Pat says. Okay, so in the story, the farmer poured some Lambanog on the ground that went through the bamboo slits of his hut. He said that it was to give back to the earth that what they took from it. I can't really throw this on my room's floor, but let's just imagine that we did. And then when they took a shot, they followed it up with sliced calamansi dipped in rub salt as a chaser.
On my end, I have this mix here, so I'll just be pouring a little bit of rum from this bottle here, and then I'm good to go.
Should I get more? Is this enough?
I don't know.
I should get more for the listeners. You know, from like not even drinking it, you can smell how strong. I can smell how strong the alcohol is, and I'm kind of nervous. So
yeah, on my end, like I before I poured the tanduay, the coffee smelled so good, but now I'm sniffing it. I mean, it still smells good, but
rum is kind of sweet, right? That so you could kind of make sense. Kind of makes sense putting in coffee, but I don't know how it'll taste like, but I think we'll be finding out very soon. So I will ready the alcohol, the salt, and my calamansi chaser. Okay, Pat, whenever you are ready.
Okay, I'm ready. Just cheers.
Cheers. What tagay, diba Pat? Tagay. 1, 2, 3, tagay. Okay, let's go.
We have two very different expressions on our webcams right now.
Oh man. You know, I'm a fan of sour foods, like sour candies, sour gummies, I'm all for that. But this is something else. No.
Can I just tell the listeners, this tastes so good. I didn't think it would taste good, but it actually does. I just used 3-in-1 coffee here and just like put a little bit of condensed milk and like a couple of glugs of tanduay, and it tastes really good. Like, it tastes coffee, but it tastes like coffee, but better. I think I'm good on my end.
I don't think I am. I think Andy will just need one more try and go. Just to be really sure of how like it really tastes. So
you have to make sure we're gonna get through this recording, right?
Yeah, I hope we can. So the lambanog is very it's really hard to get down the throat. Like you know, smooth drinks like cocktails, it's really made for you to not really taste the alcohol, so it's easy to go down. But for lambanog, it's really scratches your throat, really burns your throat.
I can see from my end that you've gone all red here, and it's only been like a couple of minutes.
Yeah,
I just think I'm drinking some chocolate coffee here. I'm fine. Let's go.
I mean, good for you, man. Because this thing is really packs a punch. I'm not gonna lie. holy crap! Yeah, I'm good. She's like, it's crazy. It's an acquired taste. It's an acquired taste. Like beer. Not a lot of people like beer, but this one is. You have to get used to the taste. Pat, I noticed earlier you were holding a bottle of tanduay there. Can you show it on screen? That tanduay bottle you're holding is actually used as a form of measurement in Cebu. When I went to a field study in Karkar, Cebu, one of the ingredients list stated that we use 8 bottles of pig oil for our dessert. And what they brought out were bottles of tanduay with pig oil in it. Exactly that bottle with pig oil inside it. So let's talk about, you know, speaking of tanduay, pig oil, and everything about, let's talk about something that is always accompanied by alcohol, pulutans.
Well, for me, my favorite pulutan then was the fried chicken skin. It's not the healthiest of foods out there, but that's what the spirit of pulutan is, Matthew. People believe that eating carbs or oily foods while drinking can help us keep the alcohol down. For me, I like pulutan because it's also a perfect contrast in flavor to whatever we're eating. You won't see anyone downing drinks in a party without them nibbling on something in between. Much like exercise, you have to take breaks in order to keep on going, you know? JP Canonigo has an interesting article on the emergence of pulutan cuisine. According to him, it can be traced back to the influence of tapas, which is an appetizer in Spanish cuisine. While tapas has grown into a more sophisticated, identity, Filipino pulutan remains centered on alcohol and good times.
Not all the time though, Pat. There are some pulutan foods that are just too good that we eat in with normal meals now. Take for example, the sisig. When talking about pulutan, how can we ever forget sisig? I don't think anyone can resist the distinct smell and crunch of sisig any time of the day. It's a staple in most Filipino restaurants here.
You know, sisig actually has such a fascinating history and how it became synonymous with drinking. Traditionally, sisig is the Kapampangan word for maasim, meaning that it used to just be steamed meat paired with something sour. In Aling Lusing's Ihawan in Pampanga, the story goes that one day she burnt an order of tenga, or ears, and instead of wasting it, she chopped it up and added calamansi or vinegar.
The reason why sisig is always served on a hot plate is to maintain that burnt crispiness of the dish. In the Philippines, we can just call it the lutong factor, but in fancier terms, it is called the Maillard reaction. Ayun, slight share ko lang and food for thought lang on what sisig means now. Before we get to the episode, a quick word from our sponsor. The Mamacita Foundation's Heirloom Grains Project promotes the centuries-old traditions of farming the many different varieties of heirloom rice in the Cordillera region. The Heirloom Rice Champorado is an opportunity for everyone to have a taste of tradition while supporting the communities who harvest the grains. The Heirloom Rice Champorado is available in Ominio, Minaagan, Kalingajekot, and Balatinao variants. You can purchase these online in Lazada, Shopee, the Mamacita's website, on Viber, and on the Mamacita's Recipes Facebook page. Like the Mamacita Foundation's Facebook page for more information on other advocacies that bring the best of the Philippines
culinary
heritage to the world.
So earlier, we had this historical approach to Philippine alcohol, but now let's take it to the present days, to something much more relatable to us and our listeners. Drinking culture is still pretty much alive in its own ways, you know, in memes and songs are inumans, like right now, and most interestingly, the mixes that we've created to accommodate our wide selection of alcohol today.
Almost anyone who is in Metro Manila knows what Weng Weng is because it is a college bar staple. It's made with vodka, rum, tequila, whiskey, gin, and juice. Rumor has it that Weng Weng is named after the sound of an ambulance makes. You know, I wonder why.
Well, we also have a penchant for naming food with a portmanteau of its ingredients. We see it in food like tapsilog or longsilog, right? But we also see it in drinks. There's Gincolite, which is a fascinating mesh of gin and chocolate. If you guys don't know what that is, it's a brand of chocolate milk. And, of course, you guys are pretty much familiar with it too. There's also Kagatan. Ka for kape or coffee. Ga for gatas, which is in this case condensed milk, and tan for Tanduay brand rum. It's witty, and I can tell you with first-hand experience myself, it packs a bite.
All jokes aside though, Pat, it is quite fascinating to be able to say that we Filipinos are far from lightweights. Our silly library of mixes kind of prove na hindi tayo mga mahihinang nilalang, no? Alcohol has seen us through history and continues to play a big role in our present. But it seems that with the right amount of alcohol that we have in our system, surely there has to be some downsides to that, right?
Well, it's obvious that there are always two sides of a coin and an even more complicated spectrum when it comes to alcohol. Alcohol doesn't always paint a pretty picture, and we see that on the silver screens. And no, I'm not talking about accidental love confessions a la J.P. Habak's I'm Drunk, I Love You. I'm talking about common Pinoy teleserye tropes. For example, having deadbeat dads turn abusive when under the influence of alcohol, and when TV goons or henchmen are on their downtime, we always see them hanging out playing cards, probably Pusoy Dos, with bottles of beer strewn across the place.
Doesn't it make you wonder though, Pat, how much of an influence the portrayal of alcohol has on its audience? And in reverse, what does that say about us? To have an entire set of villainous character tropes centered on, or at least heavily associated with, the consumption of alcohol. Our writer, Andre, talked to our college professor, Sir Severino Sarmiento Jr., or Sir Sev, as I like to call him, to know more about the relationship between media and alcohol. Sir Sev is an assistant professor at Ateneo de Manila University who specializes in media and public relations. He's even starred in some beer commercials himself.
Alcohol products are usually seen mostly on TV commercials. That's the main avenue for us to know about these products. There have been radio and print versions through the years, but it's mostly through television. Also, in through the years, ang advertising niya is about good times, friendship, key moments worth celebrating. So that's why its campaigns have always been iba, may pinagsamahan, not only San Miguel. The other brand that's interesting in terms of depiction is, of course, Ginebra San Miguel. When it was first introduced as a Filipino gin, it was positioned as ang inumin ng tunay na lalaki o walang katapat. The positioning was a man and his machismo were enhanced by drinking Ginebra San Miguel at the end of the day. However, of late, as times have changed, it's more about resiliency. It's more about the need to be strong again to face the next day. It's an opportunity for you to relax, to enjoy the blessings, the harvests of your hard work. So, you know, positioning of these brands. It's always mostly towards male audiences, and but through the years they have changed into being into more resiliency and more about Filipino values.
So jumping off from what you were talking about and how you see the male audience, but obviously that's changed now, and the whole idea of having this fun times was also just the beer, not just the beer or the product itself, but associating it with those different celebrations. How would you say these media interpretations affect the perception of audiences towards alcohol as a whole?
Well, advertising is the main avenue how we see alcohol being consumed. But it's not fair to say that advertising is the only way we can learn about alcohol. You know, in a family that has lots of gatherings, there are families that enjoy drinking together. Later on, when you go to school, probably late high school, going into college, you learn about drinking from your barcada, your work team later on. There are different ways to get exposed aside from media. There are other depictions, of course. Advertising tries to present the joy of drinking with somebody else. It's never about the loneliness of sometimes having to drink alone. Some movies naman, there are other depictions, like you'll always see in a Filipino movie, the bad guys, the criminals are always drinking in their hideouts. There are bar scenes that eventually become bar fights. Alcohol is presented as part of life in these movies, you know. But it will take more than just media to influence people to actually consume alcohol. I would consider peer pressure and environment and context as a more powerful reason for people to start in consuming drinks. But there are two approaches, really. It's first the product, the taste, the quality of the brand, and then later on, it's the pinagsamahan. Lalo na, if you notice, there are commercials nowadays about inuman, inuman, because people can't be together. What people do is they go on Zoom and they drink together. The perceptions of audiences can vary. I think, like most advertising, what the commercials do is they offer to the consumer choices. I don't think that commercials per se and the media per se create the totality of the experience of drinking or can influence drinking. I really feel that it's social context that does a more powerful job of reaching out. Parang ang feeling ko ang media reinforcement na lang. Reinforcement na lang ng satisfaction from being with barkadas. Like, the job of advertising is to reinforce those values that we like. Hindi pwede ipakitang kinukonsume. Pinapakitang andun na yung happiness, pinapakitang pinupour yung drink. And therefore, I don't think that the commercial is there to induce you to drink. The commercial is there to reinforce we are a choice. We are there as a possible choice. We are talking about the qualities of our brand, the needs that we can satisfy that you have, we offer you an option.
I want to talk about a bit here on alcoholism in the Philippines, just a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's super prevalent, but it seems to me that there are certain times when I watch telenovelas, a couple of them. But bakit nandyan, or I won't know if you know the answer, but what's with the prevalence of an abusive father who drinks a lot in certain tropes?
Kasi it's the easiest to portray. Yung internal conflict mahirap i-dramatize sa TV. Ang tagal ng, 'di ba? Ang daming paliwanagan eh. Like from the movie A Beautiful Mind, 'di ba? Hindi naman siya alcoholic but he was going through anxiety, depression, 'di ba? Ang expression ng depression was through numbers na lumalabas na ganoon. Yeah. Ang alcoholism pinakamadaling ipakitang inumin mo, lasing, abusuhin yung asawa. It's the easiest story to tell. Halimbawa, no? Ako ang fascinated ako, ang mga goons, tuwing magkakasama sila, iinom sila, di ba? Pagagalitan sila ng boss. Hoy, mga gunggoong, di ba? Pagagalitan sila, pero umiinom sila. Hindi ko alam bakit. Siguro dahil wala silang magawa para sila ay matapang, kasi kung bigla na lang silang lalaban, di ba? Kailan, malakas ang loob nila. Why is it prevalent yung abusive father? Ako, ang hindi na po-portray kung yung babae ang abusive eh. Di ba yung babae ang umiinom? I have yet to see a good telenovela or dramatization in a Filipino. There probably is. But you raise a good point. It seems that it's the easiest thing to portray. Uminom, ayan ka na naman itay, umuutang ka na naman, iinom ka na naman, di ba? Parang in the typical Filipino setting ng squatter o kaya ng very low income family, it's the easiest depiction you can come of. Kasi kung drugs kasi illegal pa eh, 'di ba? Illegal pa eh. Yung alcohol, utangin mo sa tindahan, solve eh. Sige nga, tatlong Hinebra San Miguel kung hindi ka suray-suray, 'di ba?
I just wanted to talk about maybe you. Do you think there's like more now of a social responsibility? I know mahirap yun because, like, I bet before it was much easier to move around because it's technically a job. Yun nga, you said it's the whole meaning of it is supposed to sell something. But what if you add now a context of a social responsibility? I mean, you could say, yun nga, that's why we have the drink in moderation, drink moderately and whatnot, obviously at the end of each thing. But do you think there's something that could be done more or? No, or you've already, or media's technically out of that realm in these weird changing times. Kasi mahirap, it's still being written now, or there are no set ground rules, but you could feel that there's a lot of people just being aggressive to each other on certain subjects.
The present time, medyo distracted tayo sa issues that seem to be a little more frequent, like alcoholism. I noticed sa social media, hindi ina-atake yung mga, parang people don't know what to say if those are the issues. Hirap ang tao, kahit na yung, ano eh, di ba, gender issues, unless you, I notice ha, like for instance, a lot of issues, people are not very good at some of the issues. And I noticed also, as far as drugs and alcohol this concern, mukhang hindi pinag-uusapan sa social media. No? I'm sure there are certain groups that advocate, for instance, yung drunk driving. You know? Drunk driving is an issue, for instance. I think it's something that the media should pick up, take on a little more. It's not something that's done just by a website or a Facebook page. I think... alcohol companies should be a little more responsible. I think if you notice Budweiser in the States, because of the strong campaign of mothers who had lost children because of drunk driving, they started making campaigns about people, kung sino lang ang pwedeng uminom. Tapos yung campaign on who is the designated driver was born out of social impact. No, I think... when this pandemic is done, I think we should have more focused, more targeted campaigns on the issues. So I think media should, like for instance, no, like in the changes in smoking, smoking is no longer allowed to be advertised. Now, smoking is trying, or cigarettes and tobacco are trying to redefine themselves as alternatives and are telling people that it is a choice. And I think alcohol should do that also. Alcohol will always be a part of our life, you know. When it's done in moderation, it's okay naman. I mean, having beers and a few wines, it's okay lang. And the media, hindi naman pwede ang media, may party, tapos wala namang alcohol dun sa eksena. Like for instance, the warnings that you mentioned, drink moderately, for certain ages only, should continue as well. That is the role that media can play. But media should also open avenues for those who are protesting against alcohol as well as other vices like smoking, for instance.
Okay, so Sir Sev made some really interesting points, no? In the realm of advertising, ads aren't there to coax you into drinking, but they're there to offer you a selection, a choice, when you do feel like drinking. And I can also kind of understand the problem in terms of the usage of alcohol in storytelling. Teleserye episodes are written and filmed at such a fast pace. You know, for them to continue churning out content, they have to rely on handy plot devices to signal who's bad or who's good between their characters. The choice for them to use alcohol as a signifier for someone bad doesn't straight away correlate to Filipinos having a culture of just being bad alcoholics.
But what does this lead to us to think? Is that we underestimate the power of the kind of environment we create within our families and friends? Social pressure is a real thing, and it doesn't always come in explicit forms, like a friend pushing a drink in your hand, or a family member telling you that you're more than a man if you drink. There's also countless subtle ways someone can be influenced or pressured into associating excessive drinking as a good thing. And it's really important to be aware of it when it happens.
Matthew, do you have a tip for our listeners who might need an escape route in these kinds of situations?
Yeah, I actually do. One thing I learned is that holding a cup or a glass full of water will deter a lot of people from offering you drinks.
That's actually pretty smart. I mean, although I believe that the best escape route is to just flat out say no, sometimes some people can be makulit. And when I find myself in that situation, sometimes like when someone gives me like a shot glass to drink and I don't really want to drink, I just pretend like I'm drinking it. Like I clink the glass with them, and then when they throw their head back to drink it, I just throw it behind me and no one really ever notices. And you know, that's a really like smart way that you can just get out of the situation. I guess in general though, it's a good thing that some alternatives for non-alcoholic party drinks exist. I know they won't hit the same, but I'd argue that a lot of the experience really comes from the people you're with during inumans. You know, so while you should drink wisely, you should also pick the people you drink with wisely if you can.
I agree. You know, with any drinking, the company you keep is the most important. What's having fun outside if it's not with people you're comfortable around with?
Exactly. And with that piece of sage advice, I think that's a good way to end the podcast, no?
Yep, I think it is. To recap, we talked about the history of alcohol in the Philippines, the different kinds of local alcohol, the pollutants that accompany them, the portrayal of the issue of alcoholism in the media, and some tips on how to drink responsibly.
That was a lot, and that's it for this episode of Tusok Tusok. Again, it's me, Pat.
And I'm Matthew. We'll see you guys next week. This episode was produced by Patricia Valoria and Matthew Yuching. Episode content and script written by Kayla Lanis and Andre Regala. Episode cover made by Genesis and Galilee Tan. Music composed by Riley Garten. And sound editing by Matthew Yuching. Tune in next week, August 8th, for the fifth episode of Tusok Tusok.